It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Skating on thin ice.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Delta Airlines is treading on some dangerous territory, to be sure. The bankrupt company shows up today in Washington for 2 weeks of critical hearings. Delta wants a three-person arbitration panel to throw out the bargaining agreement with its pilots. That way it can impose more wage and benefit cuts. But the pilots union says it will strike if the contract is voided. A strike could put Delta out of business. The two sides are apparently far apart on making their own deal. Elsewhere in Washington, lawmakers are working on the budget for next fiscal year. The Senate's supposed to vote on it this week. But right now, to be honest, it doesn't look like it's going to pass. Marketplace's Hillary Wackay reports.
The Senate's budget roadmap for 2007 barely made it out of committee on a partisan vote and doesn't have enough Republican support to ensure passage. One issue that could hang it up, opening ANWR to oil exploration. The plan would also make it harder for the Bush administration to boost funding for the war in Iraq through emergency spending. Stan Collender is an independent budget analyst in Washington.
This is the budget chickens coming home to roost. After years of Republicans in particular willing to do things just because the White House asked them to, you've now got a situation where the president's a lame duck and Republicans are running away from the administration.
This week, the Senate is also expected to vote on the embarrassing job of having to raise the debt ceiling by as much as $781 billion. The Treasury is bumping up against its congressionally set limit and needs to borrow more to keep the government running. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wackay for Marketplace.
So it appears the U.S. will have energy deals with both India and Pakistan. India and the U.S. will share nuclear technologies. That's not going to happen with Pakistan. But when the U.S. and Pakistan work out the details of their deal this week, U.S. business stands to gain big time. Elisa Roth reports.
Pakistan is looking for help with coal and oil, things American companies know plenty about. Last week's deal in neighboring India will likely bring only modest spoils for U.S. companies. They're far from leaders in the nuclear energy industry. But Pakistan could prove more lucrative for U.S. companies that specialize in oil and coal technologies. Aiding development, security, and international cooperation are the primary drivers for these kinds of deals. But to Stanford Law Professor Thomas Heller, there's always room for business.
It would be nice if companies who were interested in clean coal or construction of large-scale dams or of pipelines benefited from that.
Energy policy, says Heller, is as important as water when it comes to promoting development. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
What's in Capital One's wallet? Today, another regional bank. Capital One is buying North Fork Bank Corp for about $14 billion. North Fork is a big bank in New York State. Capital One's been promoting its credit card services, but it's also looking to branch out. Last year, it bought Hibernia, a bank with lots of branches in Louisiana and Texas. This new deal moves Capital One onto the list of the country's 10 largest banks. Wall Street broke out of its doldrums Friday. The Dow climbed 104 points to end at 11,076. The Nasdaq broke a six-day losing streak to finish 12 points higher. The S&P 500 rose 9 points. You're listening to Marketplace. I'm sure Sid and Nancy would approve. The Sex Pistols are being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame tonight, but they're not showing up because they have something to protest. Kurt Nickisch explains.
For years, the Rock Hall passed over the Sex Pistols. Now that the revolutionary punk band is in, it's passing on the ceremony. Frontman John Lydon told ABC's Jimmy Kimmel the music industry is just trying to cash in on the band's legacy.
At $25,000 a table, they're asking me to pay for the fact that they're going to remind me I'm famous.
Inductees actually get two free seats. Additional guests cost $2,500 apiece. When asked about the Sex Pistols' absence tonight, the head of the Hall of Fame's foundation said, "That's just what outrageous punksters do." I'm Kurt Nikisch for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Market data and news brought to you by Reuters. Reporting from around the world, every day, every hour, every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know now. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, on the web at kauffman.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
What comes to mind when I say AT&T? Avocado-colored kitchen phones, switchboard operators. The company has been around a long time, and recently it looked like the AT&T name might just go the way of rotary dial. But lo and behold, it could be back in a big way. Newsweek's Alan Sloan is with us. Hi, Alan.
Hey, good morning, Scott.
Sounds like this proposed buyout of Bell South would make AT&T king of the new telecom world.
And the thing that I like the most is not only does this name come back, which is fairly obvious, but a strategy that the old AT&T tried that has been described as a failure is also back, but they just haven't been as clear about what they're doing as the old AT&T was.
What's the strategy?
The strategy is you have a business that makes a lot of money but is slowly dying. In the case of the old AT&T, it was long distance. What they have now at the new AT&T is what they call landline service. Those phones connected by wires, the stuff that people like me in our 60s consider essential, but my children laugh at, that's going to be the cash cow that the new AT&T is going to use to pay for all of the spiffy stuff it intends to do in broadband and video and wireless and God knows what else. So they're just milking a bigger cow than the old AT&T did, but it's the same strategy.
Does the new AT&T then have a better chance of thriving this time around?
Well, it's got a better chance than the old AT&T did because the old AT&T started out fairly weak and it started out late and it very quickly ran into financial trouble and had to throw up its hands and split up the company. These guys are much bigger than the old AT&T was in its final years. They're financially stronger. They've got a much bigger cash cow. And they might or might not make this work, but they've got a better chance of making it work than the old AT&T did.
What might trip them up, if anything?
Firing 10,000 people is not very much fun, and it sort of disrupts the company. And my favorite example is Singular. Singular bought AT&T Wireless 2 years ago, still has not really, as best I can tell, figured out how to combine the companies. And now Singular is going to get a new owner, a new name, a new strategy. These things are not easy to do. And you've got this company, the former Southwestern Bell, then SBC, now AT&T. And it's one thing in writing to talk about new AT&T and old AT&T. But on the radio, we just have to hope that our listeners are very awake.
And keep acronyms to a minimum. Alan, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Scott.
Alan Sloan is the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. He'll be back next week with another edition of the Sloan Sessions. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
Customers finally have their say.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money.
Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.